Happy Wednesday, everyone. I am Hank Jones. You are listening to Hank Jones Polysports on Global Patriot Radio Network, part of Blog Talk Radio. Every Wednesday, whether you like it or not, 5:30. Yes, 5:30 Wednesdays, whether you like it or not. Mrs. Hank is here in the house announcing her presence with authority. T. Bodie's in the chat room. Mrs. Hank. T. Bodie's in the chat room. It was not Ric Flair. It was Mrs. Hank. T. Bodie's in the chat room. Sue from New Mexico is on the phones, I see. Brother Tommy and Big Sister. And T. Bodie's on the phones as well. That's cool. T. Bodie's doing double duty. That happens. Hey, every Monday on Global Patriot Radio, you have Vito Esposito Show featuring Vito and Big Al, Mama Mia, No Sharia. Tuesdays, Eric with Radio Free Kafiristan. Yes, Radio Free Kafiristan. You can guess what those two shows are about, as I've said before. Then Wednesdays, it's a little more lighthearted and less intellectual with me. Because if you want it intellectual, Wednesday's not the day to be doing it, that's for sure. Thursdays, another intellectual one. Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Fridays, Andrew Herod is in with Conservative Casual Friday, also known as Islam in Focus. Saturday nights from 10 to midnight, Minister Usama Dakduk and the beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. Sundays, Eric is back. Yes, he is, with Real Interfaith Dialogue. Now, that other than that one, all you got to do, come into Blog Talk Radio, look for Live, look for Global Patriot Radio, or follow the shows, each of the shows, and you'll get updates. You'll get alerts to your email. You can create an account and come in the chat room and try and give everyone crap. You might get deleted, but you can try it anyway. I don't delete anybody, but somebody could. Of course, you can call like several have done, 319-527-6706, or for those who are stuck way in the old-time math, 6-7-0-6. Yes, yes, yes. You can email me anytime, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. You can get into Twitter, @HPolySports. We got some good Twitter stuff going. We're getting good stuff passed around, that's for sure. I have a Facebook page, and again, that one's mainly to do alerts, but if you want to look and comment on what I say, I would love to see it. But I got to be honest, folks. I go to Facebook to play Candy Crush. I know it sounds dumb, but that's the main reason I go. Oh, and to look at my little doggy. That's true. She features prominently in some of the threads there. Awesome little dog. Coolest little dog. No two ways about it. Okay. We had our usual death watch this week. DMX, rapper and actor. He was 50 years old. It said complications from a heart attack. I'm not sure why. Look, I read the news stories, and then if I want to ever follow up, I'll go to like Google and just Google up notable deaths in 2021 or whatever. And then it'll lead you to a Wikipedia page, which has a ton of them listed. Well, in this one, it says complications from a heart attack. Now, everybody's been talking about his drug use. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, complications from a heart attack, but you might want to say, they're going to be intellectually honest, heart attack brought on by lots of drug use. Hey, look, to each their own, but let's not sugarcoat things. Prince Philip, the Duke of Edinburgh, the husband of the Queen, age 99. Actually, just a couple months short of a hundy. No cause given, but do we really need to speculate on that? He was 99, man. Let the man rest, finally. He served his country admirably. He was in World War II, I believe. I believe he served longer than that as well and other stuff, but he was served during World War II, as did the Queen, by the way. John Nesbitt, most of you wouldn't remember him. He wrote a book called Megatrends back in like 1980, 81. He also did some commercials for AT&T and Bell South back in the day, back when Bell South was doing their Centrex and their ISDN stuff. That just happened to be the regional Bell company under which I operated at the time. But he was 92, again, no cause given, and again, no reason to speculate. The guy made it to 92, so bravo. Mega crook Bernie Madoff, passed away today at the age of 82. And frankly, anything other than prison beatdown would be a cause he doesn't deserve. I'm hoping brother Tommy will chime in later because he brought it up, and he and Big Sister had talked, and that got brought up. You won't believe this next one. Again, I told you I check different stuff. So Wikipedia has notable deaths for this week. One of them listed Dante Wright. Exactly, Mrs. Hank says. Who's that? It lists him as, now, like, Prince Philip was Duke of Edinburgh. DMX was rapper, actor. John Nesbitt was author. Bernie Madoff just said convicted fraudster and financial. You know. So Dante Wright, American arrestee, age 20, shot. He was shot by a police officer. Now, unlike the other stuff, he was literally resisting. He was trying to flee. I know they're going to try and riot and all that stuff. But literally, they're listing this guy as a notable death. Please. I mean, it's Dick Morris one time said, heroes come pretty cheap nowadays, as do martyrs and quote-unquote notable. Oh, Mrs. Hank just gave a moment of silence. It was a very short moment, I might add. Oh, let's see, politics. Will Smith and his production company have pulled out of Georgia due to the voting reform law. They were making a movie called Emancipation. I'll quickly read to you because it's a very short piece. It's from the New York Times, so I figured it would be innocuous as heck. Will Smith and the director, Antoine Fuqua, said on Monday that they were pulling their upcoming film production, Emancipation, out of Georgia because of the state's new voting law, which has been denounced by activists as an effort to make voting harder for the state's black population. One might call that part of the story mythology. Anyway, he says, at this moment in time, the nation is coming to terms with its history and attempting blah, 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 blah. We cannot in good just provide economic support to expressive voting laws that are designed to restrict voter access. The new Georgia laws are reminiscent of voting impediments that were passed at the end of Reconstruction to prevent many Americans from voting. Regrettably, we feel compelled to move our film production from Georgia to another state. This is somebody who really isn't up on his history. Yes, there were poll taxes and stuff like that, but there were also people that were used, be they black, Native American, et cetera, that were paid and given lists of who to go vote for. So let's not play this, oh, I was a victim. I mean, unbelievable. Now, here's the thing. I mean, there's several things. Okay, it talks about the people that are, it says Tyler Perry and Stacey Abrams have denounced boycotts and don't want the film industry to boycott Atlanta. Well, I'll buy Tyler Perry. Tyler Perry has a film production company in Atlanta and a television production company. I like Tyler Perry. I like Tyler Perry. I understand why he doesn't want to boycott. It's really stupid. He knows it. And it's his livelihood. I will not buy Stacey Abrams. If you'll remember, as we learned last week, she, Reverend Alba Sharper, and LaJuan James were urging players and union reps to threaten boycotting the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, I'm going to shorten it, MLB-ASG, over the law's passing. Now, Stacey Abrams is furiously, when I say furiously, I mean furiously working to scrub her signature on the MLB boycott. And God knows the media is also working overtime to protect her. But folks, any half-wit candidate for Georgia House and Senate, i.e. the Senate seat held by Raphael, the Rev, Warnock, should be in serious attack mode by the GOP or any conservative with a little following and a huge bankroll come 2022. It's going to be happening for a while. People are going to pull out. They're going to think they're really cute, woke, whatever, socially aware, whatever terms you want to use. They're going to all think that. As we talked about with the boycott of the removing of the All-Star game, here's what they're doing. They're taking business away from a community that is 51% minority. Now, you could go another way on this. You could say, you know what? come the release of this film, folks in Georgia need to boycott this film. Wouldn't it be wonderful if radio stations and TV stations and cable systems in Georgia blocked out the All-Star Game? Wouldn't it be wonderful if theaters and streaming companies, etc., in Georgia somehow blocked this movie? And, of course, wouldn't it be wonderful if other people did it as well? Now, look, in the past I've never called for boycotts. That's totally reversed now. I am boycotting MLB. I won't be covering it on here anymore. Under one condition, if they either A, relocate the All-Star Game back to Atlanta, or make a lump sum payment of at least $100 million, because that's what they estimate the loss. If they make a lump sum payment of $100 million to the city of Atlanta, okay, I'll reverse it. Actually, I can say that, to the businesses in the city of Atlanta, not the city of Atlanta. That would just go into Stacey Abrams' pocket, probably. But if the American League or Major League Baseball does that, they make payments to each of the businesses in Atlanta that are affected by this, I'll talk about baseball. Until then, no, I'll talk about college baseball. Hell, I'll even talk about college softball if you want me to. I'll talk about your beer league softball if that's what it takes. But no, I won't be talking Major League Baseball until that happens. I won't be talking about you-know-who pulled his film production out of Georgia. I'm not going to talk about him anymore. I was actually thinking a while back of putting a couple of his songs in the rotation. Not now. Heck no. Okay, moving on. Project Veritas has done it again. In this case, they ran a sting, if you will, on CNN and got confirmation that from CNN that they worked and took credit for getting Donald off. Now, I know that's a mystery, that part of it, but here's what happened. A CNN technical director named Charles Chester, on camera, hidden camera, said the network employed, quote, propaganda to get Trump out and is currently doing the same thing to Florida Congressman Matt Gaetz. So CNN's admitting this. Now, in the surreptitiously recorded interview with Project Veritas, Chester says the following, quote, look what we did. We got Trump out. Further, he said, I am 100% going to say it, and I 100% believe that if it wasn't for CNN, I don't know that Trump would have got voted out. I really don't think so. And then he said to a staffer, I came to CNN because I wanted to be part of that. He told another staffer later, our focus was to get Trump out of office, right? Without saying it, that's what it was. Now, supposedly this is just the first segment in a three-part expose on the whole thing. And look, I don't know that what Project Veritas does is always the right thing. I mean, they're getting great information, but I don't know, you know, if you always feel like you got to be on guard. But I'm not sure when you go out to a restaurant with someone who says they're doing an interview that you have an expectation of privacy anyway. And saying something off the record, I wouldn't do that except if I were in my own office or in my own home. I would never try and say off the record outside of my own surroundings. Anyway, like I said, I don't know if this is the right thing. It's hard to say how much reasonable expectation of privacy one has. But let's look at it another way. Let's say the guy thought it was private and off the record. Okay, well, guess what? So are assassination plots. So are vote fraud schemes. Yeah, so are the ubiquitous backroom deals in Washington, D.C. and other cities across this country. Look, the scary part isn't propaganda. Propaganda's all over the place. When Sue and I talk on Twitter, that's you know, we're passing some propaganda. Now, we're passing fact. But when we do it, when I talk with Vito on the phone or whatever, there's some propaganda. I mean, we're propping up our beliefs. What I'm talking about, when they use it in such a way, look, it begs the question here. Does truth matter? Do facts matter? And when we hear so much about how feelings matter, we got to ask, whose feelings? Now, what, that some news organizations do this should come as no shock. We know this kind of stuff happens. It's been done for years. But I'll tell you what, we have to draw a line, or when line or lines become blurred, mainly because we allow them to become blurred, we've got to stop allowing that. Look, bottom line, CNN and others revealed anything and everything they felt would hurt Donald Trump. They did that. Duh. To say his feelings didn't matter goes without saying, But let's face it, he's also one of the first out there not to let his feelings cloud his judgment or his commitment to doing his job. I get all that. But look, when they take things out of context and they do things like manipulate recordings and they interject facts, quote, not in evidence, we have a problem. Definitely. When they take it to the extreme being they don't do the same thing to their favored candidates, it goes beyond partisan. It goes beyond moral or ethical. It goes to this. FCC licenses should come with more than just a price. They should come with an obligation. Look, I have no beef with any news anchor or personality saying which candidate he favors right on air, or whether she says it in print or whether she or he says it online. I don't have a problem with that. That's openness. But when it extends to manipulation of news and facts and data, it's a problem. When it gets to a level of infiltrating or looking for insider sabotage, it becomes very partisan. But you know what? When it comes to doing it in a one-sided fashion, it means credibility isn't an issue, but rather manipulation and perception shaping are the only things that matter. Look, I didn't study journalism, and even though I didn't, I have a hard time believing this is taught in any self-respecting, quote, school of journalism, end quote, whether it's an Ivy League school or a community college. Look, basically, we're in full danger mode. We kind of know this, but I think it bears repeating and it bears hammering the point home. We're in full danger mode. We're at a point literally where we have to, quote, measure public news, where we have to actually be concerned more with misinformation and disinformation than with regular old-fashioned information. Hey, I'm going to bring Brother Tommy in because he's had the thing on. This is the second time. Hey, what's going on?
I'm going to be so quick here.
I'm
taking my props off to you because you're rolling it big time. Did you just call him LaJuan James?
Yeah. Don't you know
there's
why?
There's about 6% of your audience that would understand it. I happen to be in that 6%.
Okay.
Absolutely hilarious.
Please tell us why he's called. Please tell us why he is called LaJuan James.
So, I have been laughing for the last 20 minutes since you said it. I can't keep a straight face. And that's why I said, I did want to say, and you did say, I do want to comment on Bernie Madoff, biggest criminal of all time, stealing people's $2, $3 million bullshit. I heard you said LaJuan.
Please explain LaJuan so it's not always.
I don't even get it.
You know what the Juan is, right? It's spelled It's spelled Yuan. The Juan is the Chinese currency, and so he is so up to his ass in Chinese deals.
Well, I know
the Juan is
Chinese basketball,
is more,
right?
Yeah,
it makes sense.
Merchandising
now.
Deals. I wish I could say I coined it. I actually saw it somewhere else. I wish I could say.
You do a lot of where you do like names, fictitious names that aren't that funny. But when I listened to LaJuan James, laughing my ass off.
I was talking with Vito about it last week, and once he finally got how I was saying it, he was like dying too. He's like, oh my God, that's awesome. he's owned by Chinese media, basically. That's who buys all.
I do know that. I mean, $200 million of his paycheck.
Yeah, that's who buys all. Buys all his jerseys.
Yeah.
Nobody in America.
But I did not know who was Juan as in the currency.
Mm-hmm.
That's even funnier. Hey, I'm going to let you go.
I want to hear your thoughts on Madoff, Bernie Madoff.
All right. Now, understand Netflix movie, Robert De Niro played Bernie Madoff, so I've got to take it to a certain extent with a grain of salt what I saw, but he looked like the biggest shyster, the biggest asshole that God ever put on the earth. You know what? You steal $10 million. Like, what's his name? I actually like him. The guy that's in that movie, we like, Kevin Bacon. he got ripped off. But when someone that's worth $20 or $30 million gets ripped off for $5 million, I'm not really that sympathetic. But Bernie Madoff, what people don't understand is he had a lot of people worth $2 million that were in their retirement years, and he fucked them over. He had absolutely no regard. Like you and I would do it, we'd be like, I feel a little guilty about this shit, but I'm going to do it anyways to make a buck. He had none of that, according to the movie that I saw. Now, like I said, it was De Niro and all of that, but you know, my feeling on that is everything I've read about him, he's an absolute, total, unequivocal scumbag. And kind of frightening when you really think about it. But then again, if you're going to be stupid with your money, which as we all know, I don't have any, but if you're going to be stupid with your money, you're going to get you're going to get your just dues, I guess. But beyond that, no. In fact, I think I talked to you today. Older sister was the one who told me that he died. I didn't even know that.
I thought he was already dead. T. Bodie.
I did too.
In the chat room, T. Bodie. Well, one of his sons died, but in the chat room, T. Bodie. He says, I quote, "I had drinks with Bernie's son once and had met Bernie back in the day."
No shit.
Wow. Yeah. Well, remember T. Bodie worked in the finance world, the investment world.
But he was in Colorado.
He was also in Florida for a while. T. Bodie was. So you know those folks travel down to South Florida all the time, man.
T. Bodie was the one that we went to the. I know I can't use names. Went to the Capital One Bowl with.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, and he said, and he says he used to do a lot of meaning his company, I assume, used to do a lot of business with Madoff. T. Bodie, can you tell us, is that company still around, or did they get screwed over too, or?
There's no fucking way they survived. No fucking way. No way.
He said they were our 2-bit broker for the floor. Well, that makes sense. Well, no, I mean, if they were just doing business, and if they weren't investing with him, you know. I still don't even, you know, here's the thing. Oh, no, he says they went down right away. Okay. But here's the thing, I don't understand.
Right away. That's why I just said there's no fucking way they survived. I didn't even know that.
But here's what I don't understand.
Nature of business.
Here's what I don't understand. I get that, you know, people invest and they, you know, but how do these people get away with it for so long? I mean, doesn't somebody ever ask these questions? I mean, are they that convincing? Are they that?
Well,
you know, that's what I never
understood. You know, all right, I'm going to elaborate on your question there. Who in their right mind gives power of attorney to an investment broker? In other words, the investment broker can do whatever he or she wants to do with your money. Who is that freaking stupid where they say, okay, yeah, you can do whatever you want with my money? That's what I don't get. And like I said, the movie was starred by De Niro, so you know, you got to take it with somewhat of a grain of salt. But if you watch the movie, but if you watch the movie, you're going to be like, oh my god, this guy is a scumbag.
Yeah.
Kind of like Zuckerberger.
It was tons of Hawkeye Mike just texted, as he pointed out, don't forget, it was tens of billions of dollars. And for some people, it literally was, as you said, their life savings.
It was actually closer to 50 billion, number one. I don't feel
He said tens of billions, so that's
I'll defer to Hawkeye Mike. He's a lawyer, and he's more intelligent than me. I'll defer to him on that, but I'm saying it was multi-billions. It was like 50, 60 billion, but I don't feel guilty for the big saps that lost money. But what people don't realize is he had so many saps that were $2 million, $3 million. Now figure it. You work for 40 years, 50 years of your life, whatever the number is, and then you lose it all because of some shyster asshole just literally stole it from you. Literally. And I'm not saying like he may as well have taken a Louisville Slugger to your kneecaps. Because that's what the end result.
Like T. Bodie says, they did a lot of third-party trades on the exchange for a lot of small brokerage firms, and he says a lot of people, even at the smaller end, here's the thing: you trust brokers that you've never met. I can't imagine that. I literally can't imagine.
Well,
that.
I can't either. But then again, I don't have that type of money. But there's no way.
You know,
I would put my hands in someone's.
You know, think of Shearson Lehman and some of those that have gone out. you know, you've trusted a lot of those people, and people, you know, they've met people. So it's, I don't know, it's just a crazy thing. So, hey, I'm gonna put you back on mute for a while. I got to get back to some more stories, but
yeah, no, that's cool. I just wanted to chime in on that real quick because I love the LaWanne. I just had to chime in. All right, I'm Bates, brother Tommy out.
Okay, cool.
All right, talk to you in a bit, or we'll talk tomorrow or whatever.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Cool. I'm gonna.
Brother Tommy always bringing it. See, Vito didn't know it either. Didn't know what I meant by LaWanne. So, T. Bodie had met several brokers, several traders from Stratton Oakmont, and had been in the same room with Jordan Belfort before too, of Wolf of Wall Street fame. Yeah, I mean it's. These people have ruined lives, obviously, and they go down, you know, they take everybody down with them eventually, of course. But, yeah, T. Bodie said it best, scumbags. Oh, but speaking of scumbags, hey, things are looking up in the city of Portland. First of all, the city is on pace to set a new murder record. But guess what they decided to do? They're spending $6 million to bolster things. Okay, now what exactly are they getting for that $6 million? Well, they're hiring 24 park rangers. I'm kidding. I'm armed with mace and radios. You know what the radios are for? So that they can contact actual police if there's a real emergency. The city feels, will turn things around, lowering gun violence and building trust in the police. Something tells me, first of all, that record's going to fall. That record, I mean, this is, when they say on pace, when you hear that record's going to happen. That's a set record. You can, if, Vegas probably won't even take odds on it, frankly. So, yeah, call me cynical, sure, but no, I don't see a park ranger keeping me safe, nor do I envision greater trust in the police because of park rangers. Yeah, not even in Portland. Seriously, though, who comes up with this stuff, and how do they come up with this stuff? How? Who thinks that up? Who does? I mean, okay. Look, okay, think of it this way. $6 million should be able to buy more than 24 park rangers. I don't care how awesome the mace is or the radio. It should get you more than 24 park rangers. Because remember, these places do annual budgets. I mean, this is so absurd, yet it's not even the most absurd thing any of us are going to hear today, let alone this week or this month. This is the makings of a crappy 1990s vintage Saturday Night Live sketch. I mean, God, I long for the days of Benny Hill or actual any comedy genius. We could do some serious damage on a real comedy show. I mean, between Benny Hill's skits with the British bobbies running around in fast motion, or the crew from Spinal Tap, minus Rob Reiner, of course, or any several others, we'd get us a winner. Okay, so they did Community already, and they already did Parks and Recreation. Oh, yeah, T. Bodie points out Monty Python. I'll tell you, I got a name for this, though, for the characters in the show. Powerless Rangers. How's that? Powerless Rangers. I can see it now, man. Oh, I'm making myself laugh. That's not good. That is not good. Okay. Now we have no less than three various film clips or audio clips of AP Sergeant Schultz Biden condemning Supreme Court packing. Seriously. Oh, Hawk and Mike said Monty Python as well. See, he and T. Bodie, great minds think alike. So we had no less than three different clips of him condemning Supreme Court packing. Hence, I guess, the reason for him doing an executive order to form a commission to look into it. God, you know, that commission is going to be a who's who of people who have drawn government funds, who have never actually contributed to the good of the United States of America. I mean, off the top of my head, we're talking 6 people from the Obama administration, probably 2 from the Clinton administration, probably every member of the squad. Yeah, that ought to bring us up to speed. And you know what would top it off better than a couple of corrupt, retired, way too late ex-judges also being on the commission? Here's a clue how I really feel. I trust the actual original commission. Now you're saying, what do you mean? I'm talking about the commission, the one with Charles Luciano, Lucky Luciano, Joe Bonanno, Joe Profaci, Vincent Mangano, Tommy Gagliano, Al Capone, Stefano Magadino. That was the original commission of the mafia, or La Cosa Nostra. Now, some say that Salvatore Maranzano founded it. What he did was sort of separate the 5 families and acknowledge them and acknowledge families in the other cities. They say Luciano, when they killed Maranzano, that really is when they formed the commission without any single head of the commission. Yeah, the mafia, a.k.a. La Cosa Nostra. I would trust that commission more than I would ever trust a so-called commission, which is basically being set up by one branch of government to expand another branch of government. Literally, when you consider that statehood for D.C. and Puerto Rico are also probably on the docket real soon, you're talking about 3 branches of government giving each other permission to trample on us. So, yeah, I'll go with La Cosa Nostra over La Dopey Nostra. By the way, La Cosa Nostra loosely translates as our thing. They never called themselves the mafia. It was Cosa Nostra or La Cosa Nostra, our thing. La Dopey Nostra precisely translates as our Dopey Joe. Yeah. Speaking of our Dopey Joe, there are some rumblings that Biden-Harris administration is contemplating restarting sections of the border wall in order to combat the non-crisis at the border. Jesus, you can't make that up. Of course, you really can't. But I've actually seen it bandied about on several news sites, or rather news sites I find worthwhile, sometimes even credible. Seriously, though, if that happens, there's absolutely no way Big Left can all coordinated and coherently, there's no way Big Left can walk it all back and make a credible attempt to discredit President Trump's border policies. There's no way. I mean, they'll try. Don't get me in. There are certainly enough dumb people in this country who would parrot the mantra and toe the party line. But no, there can't be that. I mean, there's just no, I don't see how. You know, Hawkeye Mike just sent me a text. At least La Cosa Nostra, that commission was real and not a political fraud, like the new court reform commission. Yeah, I don't see how they can walk it back. I just don't. I'll see them trying. I'm sure they're going to say things. They're going to, of course, blame President Trump, but I don't know how they can do it and have credibility. I can't imagine that this country collectively is that stupid. It just can't be. But it can, I guess. Sports news. Iowa Hawkeye great Luca Garza can now add successful NFT auction to his already long list of accomplishments. Yeah, the NFT he auctioned off, I talked about last week, with his digital art and his pair of his shoes, a game of horse, dinner and a movie, free lifetime pass to his basketball camp. Yeah, raised over $41,000. And a nice chunk of it's going to the University of Iowa Stead Family Children's Hospital. Yeah, nothing the guy can't do, I swear. Last Sunday saw a first at the Masters. No, not the fact that took place in Georgia. Not the fact that Chairman Fred Ridley all but blew off those seeking to get the Masters to leave Georgia. No, what we saw was the first ever Asian winner. Now, I looked it up. Vijay Singh is not Asian. I mean, you would think he's Indian, but he's actually Fijian. That is not the same as Asian. No, Hideki Matsuyama of Japan, who also, by the way, is one of relatively few who won the tournament after having previously scored as low amateur in a prior tournament before they turned pro. Yeah, his score, it was 10 strokes off the tournament record of 268 slash minus 20. What's his name? Not Justin Rose, Dustin Thomas or whatever. Justin Thomas, last year. But his score was still respectable. It was minus 10, 278. The final margin was only one stroke, but it looked like his tournament to lose after Saturday. He entered Sunday's round with a pretty comfortable four-stroke lead. Okay, four strokes is not necessarily a safe lead at Augusta going into the fourth round, but still, you know, it's pretty awesome. He blistered the back nine on Saturday, a 6-under 30. On the way to a round of 65, 7-under. Yeah, that'll get you some separation. Ironically, two golfers have shot 29 on the back nine, and neither of them won. Six are tied for the front nine record at 30. One of those who shot 29 on the back, Mark Calcavecchia, he only managed for the tournament a minus three, tied for 32nd place. The other was 1998, David Toms. He shot a final round 64. Guess what? That left him only tied for sixth. Yeah, one of those who tied with him, by the way, was Jack Nicklaus. Yeah, that Jack Nicklaus, a mere 12 years after winning it at the age of 46 in the 1986 Masters. That was still one of my all-time favorite sports events. And look, golf isn't my favorite sport. I enjoy it, you know, when it's the majors. I occasionally enjoy getting out. I'm not good at it. I don't play enough to maintain being proficient. Not like Hawkeye Mike or Vito. By the way, keep Vito in your prayers. He's going to be bucking for a U.S. Senior Open berth this year, I believe. He's going to try and play in the qualifying again. Yeah, but Jack Nicklaus, folks, he's still the greatest golfer in our lifetime. So the low round at the Masters has been done twice, 63, with neither of them involving a record nine on either the front or the back. That's pretty amazing. Okay, our teams have started up, our college teams have started up their spring football sessions. Some of those, the ones further south, have already had their spring game. This Saturday, the Iowa Hawkeyes have their first of two open practices that they will have at Kinnick Stadium this spring. The other comes on May 1st. The Hawks got two new position coaches. George Barnett takes over for Tim Palasek on the offensive line. And Waddell Betts, the second all-time leading Hawkeye rusher, replaces Derek Foster as the running backs coach. So, look, we're less than 5 months away from the 2021 opener, and frankly, I cannot wait. Literally, I will take a 7-5 or 8-4 Iowa football season over the current crop of professional sports we're having to deal with. I'm serious. Especially all the pro boycotting and all that. I'm just tired of those. I really am. Hey, before I break for a bit, I want to tell you about some other shows along talk radio that I like listening to, and you should give them a listen. I mean, I love it when you come to the Global Patriot radio shows, but those are only 2 to 3 hours a day. You know, there's other shows, other times. Tuesdays, Chief, who's come into this show on occasion, you'll find him a lot on Vito's show. Chief has a show called Simple Facts of Life every Tuesday. It's called Simple Facts of Life. Come to Blog Talk Radio and just look it up. Now, if you put something in and you don't see those as live, it doesn't mean that they're not live. Often it means that they just don't have a chat feature. Some people don't use the chat. So if you look in the live and don't see those, just go up to look at politics or sports or whatever you want to listen to. Brother Warren, now he's New Orleans Wake Up. A lot of people, I get it. He's come around this show, but more in Vito's and other shows. And he's very left-leaning, but he's basically a pleasant, friendly guy. And he talks about New Orleans cuisine on occasion. Anyway, Brother Warren did a show recently about the life of John Coltrane. Now, you don't have to like his political stance, but, you know, a guy that does a show on John Coltrane, I'm not going to get too mad at. And I listened to it. It was a very interesting show. couple different nights a week. Tim Tapp has a show called Tap Into the Truth or Tap Into Truth. Tim is fantastic. On top of it, he's simulcast on some radio stations as well. Fridays also, a couple other days, Annie, Southern Sense Radio. Both of them very, very knowledgeable. Know a lot of good people, so they'll have really good guests on. And again, don't forget the others on Global Patriot Radio, Vito and Al and Eric and Paul and Andrew and Usama and Christy. But just saying, there's other stuff. You know, give them all a listen, because it's really important to arm ourselves with the knowledge that we need. And another one, I called in for the first time the other day. I've heard him on Vito's, but I haven't heard his show. A guy named G-Ski Rocks, he and his partner Dave have a show, America Airwaves or Airwave America, I forget. It's called the Dave and G-Ski Rocks Show. And G-Ski Rocks is I haven't talked to Dave or heard Dave, but G-Ski Rocks is a former military veteran. I shouldn't say former. He's a military veteran. And he has some really good insight into some of the electioneering that went on in Georgia, for instance. Just a good listen, and just a really good a good listen when you know if it's a show that's not on opposing Global Patriot Radio, especially. Also, check out Spreaker.com. There's some good shows on there. Vito talked about one, the Simone Nicole Show, which is gets away from the politics and the crap. So but give those shows a listen. And, of course, please give us a listen all the time. Like I said, I'm going to take a break. Oh, Hawkeye Mike pointed something out. ESPN has Iowa State preseason number 4 in football. So, yeah, the planet is officially off its axis. Officially. So let's give a listen to a little music. Take a break. Get your whatever you're wanting to imbibe in, be it coffee or whatever. And we'll be back in about 2 minutes. And we are back on Hank Jones Poly Sports. Number to call if you want to call in is 319-527-6706. You can get in the chat room. T. Bodie's the only one in there right this moment. But I got texts from people. And while I said you should have a coffee or whatever, glass of wine, Hawkeye Mike was torquing on a Stella Artois. So if you're in the chat room and you want to let me know what you had, that's cool. You might start listing it. Well, you don't have to. You can be private. Not a big deal. Let's get to some poly sports. Okay, several states have passed or will vote on or, frankly, failed to pass various legislative initiatives banning transgender athletes, i.e. males competing in women's sports. Sounds reasonable, right? Makes complete sense. Just on the physical aspects alone. And what I mean by that is I'm talking mainly those who say they are female, but they aren't really. There are states where in high school they allow boys to compete as girls without actually being girls. And I don't mean – I'm talking no hormonal, no surgery. Just throw on a wig or whatever, add a skirt and run against girls or fight against girls or whatever. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So look, either get it lopped off or completely detestosterone yourself or whatever, or don't even try. But look, even then, other factors and or criteria should be met. Now, one state that's talking about this now is the state of Florida. Guess what? The NCAA, yeah, that bastion of institutional control, institutional equality, consummate watchdog for major college athletics. Yeah, it is stated that they will pull any and all championship events from states that pass or already have passed such bills. I remember they pulled something from North Carolina years ago on their bathroom bill. Here's the thing, though. Between Georgia voting laws, Florida's transgender bans, various bathroom laws in the Carolinas, Arkansas banning transgender surgery for minor children, et cetera, the NCAA will quickly, and I mean quickly, they will alienate at least one major conference by pulling events. And they could pretty much add at least one or two more as other states go forward with these types of legislation. I'm talking about first the SEC, first and foremost, but also it'll probably affect the Big 12, given the Texas, Oklahoma, Kansas preponderance, not to mention the possibility of the Big 10 and the ACC. Forget the Pac-12. They're too, you know what, rhymes with joke. They're too that. And frankly, they're less relevant other than their recent March Madness success. They're just not relevant as much as they were. And this, folks, this is when we will see the NCAA either being neutered or frankly shuttered. Look, the NCAA without three or four of the Power Five football conferences has little reason to expect that they would survive. You know, even if the SEC left, you got to believe at least one other conference would follow, probably all the Power Five at some point. Now, look, some of the TV rights deals could be vulnerable. Yeah, or maybe not. Look, much as ESPN and ABC and CBS and NBC and everyone else, much as they're all about diversity and inclusivity, they've pretty much shown by the amount of money they pay for broadcast rights that they count on NCAA football just a tad. Look, there will come a time when some high-impact college football programs and conferences just simply say enough is enough. And look, if the school and academia Nazis want to choose to impose their liberal will, look at the reverse. Imagine how far and how quickly an Alabama or a Clemson or an Ohio State or a Texas or whoever, imagine how quickly that would make a school irrelevant without its football team being on board with the rest of the administration or without a coach of a certain level and respect saying, that's it for me. I mean, you know, if Alabama just simply said, if Nick Saban just simply said, you know, Dabo Swinney has shown that he has the guts to keep, you know, to stand up for it. Look, Texas is already in a precarious enough situation with the way they handled the Tom Herman firing and the Steve Sarkisian hiring. Steve Sark, a.k.a. Cuddy Sark Sarkisian. Look, the Ivy League canceled sports for this academic year. Anyone notice? Yeah, of course not. Nobody noticed. The fact FCS football is going on right now is lost on even some hardcore sports fans. But here's an interesting twist. Let's look at some recent FCS coaching hires. You have Deion Sanders coaching at Jackson State. Eddie George has just taken the head coach job at Tennessee State. And trust me, more will follow. Because as much as schools and coaches and players want diversity, it's also major juice when a historically black college or university can lure a guy like a Deion Sanders, who, let's face it, Deion excelled in several sports, both college and pro level, and a former Heisman Trophy winner with Eddie George, when they can get them to that stage, yeah, NCAA and the networks might try and hang their hat on those schools, but guess what? Fans won't. Not for long. No, I'm not saying that they're anti-Eddie George or anti-Deion Sanders. But fans won't tune into those games and the numbers that they do. Advertisers won't buy into those games the way they buy into Big Ten games. I mean, Big Ten Network didn't get to be the biggest in terms of providing for its conference membership. They didn't get to be the biggest because they are all these geniuses. Now, granted, they have some seriously top-notch people working there. They're on-air crew. Some of them can hack you off a bit, but I mean, between Dave Redson and Mike Pizzo and, you know, some of the others, you can't argue with that success and with that on-air knowledge. But I'm talking about TV sets. What it boils down to. Fans won't buy into that. It's fans who put asses in the seats and it's fans who put eyeballs on the TVs. Advertisers don't care how socially aware school admins are or even big corporate donors might be. Sure, they'll pay a lip service for a little while, but when sales drop, so will ad buys. When viewership drops, there you go. And so subsequently, so will rights money. And guess what? That's up for renewal in several Power 5 conferences in the next couple of years. So yeah, vote with your wallet, but don't forget that includes what you watch on TV. So with regard to transgender sports, the question becomes, will the women and the women's rights activists, will they have enough fortitude to stand up to all this? I guess what I'm really asking is, do they really believe or do they still believe in Title IX? I mean, some of the people, Megan Rapinoe, she's a female soccer player, but she's saying, yeah, let it happen. How would she like playing a team of men, though? You know, she talks about, oh, yeah, we got to get paid like the men. But guess what? They got to draw, number one. And they won't draw if they don't win in the U.S. I mean, let's face it, the U.S. is not exactly soccer haven. Probably won't ever be. But guess what? When some of these people have to start playing against men, yeah, I think they'll start believing in Title IX again. Maybe just a bit. Hey, Sue from New Mexico shot me this on Twitter this morning. An Erie County, New York executive says vaccination for COVID will be mandatory in order for folks to attend Buffalo Bills football games or Buffalo Sabres hockey games. Now, as one very astute Twitter user put it, part of the original argument for Roe versus Wade was a woman's constitutional right to medical privacy. Evidently that applies to abortion, but not other stuff. I mean, what the hell? Remember when Bill Clinton pushed for the passing of HIPAA? Now, back then, my mom, no, she was not only a great mom, she was a very smart woman. She pointed out, she said, look, this is just to protect Bill Clinton from having to show that Chelsea isn't his daughter. And we talked about it. Bill Clinton had multiple affairs, but no love children. Speculation was that since he had suffered rheumatic fever or scarlet fever as a kid, I don't even remember which, and I don't really care. He was unable to, as a child, he was unable to conceive children. And yet we have Chelsea. And she pretty much looks like Webster Hubble, not Bill Clinton. And all that may not have played well with either his first election or his re-election as president, no doubt about it. But thus the oft-used term was HIPAA was often called the Bill Clinton Protection Bill. And when referring to HIPAA and PHI, which is Protected or Personal Health Information, that's what they call it. Anyway, it appears if you want to attend pro sports in the city of Buffalo, you will need proof of vaccination. Really? Really? I mean, let's think about this for a second. Okay. T-Bode sent me something that I'm not supposed to repeat. So if you're in the chat room, if you came in the chat room, you'd see it, but you won't hear it from me. Let's put this in some perspective. Buffalo is not exactly a huge city, you know, compared to, you know, Jerkwater, Oklahoma, yeah. Compared to, you know, nowhere Minnesota, certainly, of course it is. It's not in terms of, it's no Houston, it's no New York, obviously. It's no, you know, Columbus, Ohio, or Chicago, or L.A., or whatever. But at the same time, I can't see how, I mean, if they're talking about socially distancing, I'm sure they're going to require masks and or socially distancing. I mean, unless they are planning to pack the stadium full to capacity, no social distancing, not requiring masks, okay, I could see it. Maybe. I could see it being a home rule type thing, certainly in the next few months. Look, again, I'm not discounting that COVID doesn't exist. Nobody is. Now, the left tries to say that we don't think COVID exists. We understand it exists. It's how it was handled. It was how the left, if you will, politicized it, frankly, deified it. But if Buffalo is going to be at full capacity and not require masks, okay, I could see a rationale, conceivably. But again, somebody's having to give up a bit of personal, personal information. T. Bodie says in the chat room, both vaccination and masks are required. I don't know if he's saying that's what they'll probably do or if that's what's actually happening. But, and I'm sure this could evolve as the virus has evolved and all that crap. And Fauci has evolved. But seriously, if they're not going to require masks and they're not going to socially distance, okay. Then I would get that they should ask, or that people could even say voluntarily, vaccinated, not vaccinated. But man, you're at a pro football stadium. I don't care what's going on. I don't know how you would have a right to expect that everyone's vaccinated, or that everyone a year and a half past the initial furor of COVID. I don't understand how they could expect that. I just don't. I'm not even sure how I can. T. Bodie makes a good point. What if I already had the virus and decided not to get vaccinated? Again, why should he, if that were the case, why should he have to tell people that? They have a price. Now people say, yeah, but they can do it. It's their stadium. They can do it how they want to. Okay, so what happens when the first game happens and 20,000 people show up? And I don't know how big their stadium is. Let's say 60,000. So let's say 20,000 people show up, leaving 40,000 empty seats. Yeah, who pulls that freight? And who makes it up to the vendors? You know, Joe Hot Dog vendor is planning on 60,000. Billy Beer vendor is planning on 60,000. He's praying for 60,000, for God's sake. I mean, you know, I'm not sure where they're going with this, why they would say we're requiring it. Unless, of course, if they're saying no masks, no social distancing. Okay. I mean, that would be a trade-off at least. But if they're going to require masks and social distancing as well, along with proof of vaccination, I don't see that going very well. And again, we don't even know whether college football stadiums will be, you know, think of 100,000 in Columbus or State College. Yeah, that's a lot of people. But you know what? We're a year and a half past it. Do we really at that point need it? You know, that's just crazy. Absolute insanity is what it is. I mean, why? Why? And why announce it now? It's either promise low and deliver high. But at this juncture, how many people are not going to buy single game tickets? How many people are going to say, forget it, I'm not doing my season tickets anymore? You know, there are a lot of people that have blown off college tickets over the recently because, one, stadiums don't have good enough Wi-Fi. I know, idiocy, but and two, it's just as easy or easier to watch at home. You know, so much has been cracked down on outside of stadiums and tailgate limitations and such. So, yeah, you got to make sure that the freight is paid. Yeah, Dee Bodie points out, racist to keep you out of a sporting event because you don't have ID to get the vaccination. Think about that. People are condemning Georgia voter laws, but they're saying it's okay to require someone to be vaccinated before going to a football game. And I know one is quote unquote a right and one is a privilege or whatever, something you pay for. Okay. Well, guess what? Don't be surprised then if you see a third of capacity come fall, autumn, whatever you want to call it. Just my thoughts. Okay, let's get some laughy today. Okay, here's a good one. So you don't think gender matters? Try this. Go buy a rooster and a bull to start your farm, and then tell me how many eggs and how much milk you produce. Then try and tell me God didn't think things out when it comes to gender. Yeah, there are some people that say that. God didn't really think that out. Really? Really? Yeah, I kind of think God knew this stuff a little better than people who, quote, follow the science. Number two, if there is no border crisis, and this is a real question, if there's no border crisis, why are we hearing that AP Sergeant Schultz Dopey Joe Biden is offering certain government types 4 months paid leave to foster or care for kids from overflowing migrant detention centers? Now, I can't imagine that one popped up on a whim. There's got to be something behind that. If that's the case, why are we not declaring it a border crisis? Number three, firearms dealers should sell guns and ammo by mail. You know, like voting. That's a good one. Next one, a man died and went to heaven. At the pearly gates, he saw a bunch of clocks and asked St. Peter what they were for. St. Peter said they were lie clocks and that everyone on earth has one, and each lie they tell moves the minute and hour hands. He showed Mother Teresa's, which hadn't really moved. He showed Abe Lincoln's, which wasn't much further along. So the guy asked about certain other people, and then he said, what about Hillary Clinton? Does she have one? St. Peter says, absolutely. That's in Jesus' office. He's using it as a ceiling fan. I know. Funny only to me. Lastly, Bill Gates says that a cow is worse than a car when it comes to emissions. So the suggestion has been made, why don't I spend the night in a garage with a cow and let Bill stay in another garage with his car running? And then next morning we can meet for breakfast and discuss the results. I'll tell you a real story, and Brother Tommy gave me permission to tell this. Last year, right about this time, Brother Tommy and Mrs. Brother Tommy, they had a neighbor who left a car running in their garage. It's one of those newfangled cars. You know, they're quiet. You don't turn them off with a key, so you sometimes don't know they're still running. And so luckily, Brother Tommy was wakened up and called 911, got the people there. But they had serious carbon monoxide poisoning. They were lucky. So when Bill Gates says a cow and a car, when it comes to emissions, yeah, don't think so, Billy. Don't think so. T. Bodie asks, how about for equity's sake, do mutual funds and hedge funds have to have at least 50% penny stocks and developing companies in their portfolios. You know, in relation to all these boards of directors, these companies that are replacing talent with minorities, United or Delta saying they want at least 50% of their pilots now to be minorities or women. Not qualified pilots, just minorities or women. Disney's saying the same thing. You know, that's another thing. You know, all this corporate social justice stuff. Delta and Woca-Cola in Atlanta, do they not realize what's getting pulled away? Now, Delta could fly anywhere, but how many people aren't going to fly Delta? How many people aren't going to drink Woke, Diet Woke, Woke Zero, et cetera? You got to wonder. And that's what it'll take. It really will take a good number of people boycotting. Just don't drink Coke products. Don't buy Coke products. Don't fly Delta. Now, they've talked about in Texas that a few companies are trying to push against a pending Texas bill on election reform. And supposedly, certain people in Texas have pushed back, basically said, go woke, go broke. That's what it's going to take. We're going to have to simply say no. Now, T. Bodie was talking about watching the Hannity last night on this Project Veritas exposure. Supposedly, the second part of the story will be even more incriminating about COVID. That's supposed to happen today or tonight. I don't know if it'll be on Hannity or whatever, but it's supposed to drop tonight. That's going to be interesting to see, isn't it? Won't it be so? Okay, before I close, and I know it's been a short show, but I've got some stuff going on in our house, actually, some projects. Let's not forget the 10 GOP House members that voted for impeachment. David Valadao of California, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, Pete Meyer and Fred Upton of Michigan, John Katko of New York, Anthony Gonzalez of Ohio, Tom Rice of South Carolina, Jamie Herrera-Butler and Dan Newhouse of Washington, and Liz Cheney in Wyoming. Let's not forget the 11 House GOP members who voted to strip committee assignments from their own party member, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Young Kim of California, Mario Diaz-Balart, Carlos Jimenez, and Maria Elvira Salazar, all of Florida, Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, Fred Upton of Michigan, Chris Smith of New Jersey, Chris Jacobs, John Katko, and Nicole Malliotakis of New York, and Brian Fitzpatrick of Pennsylvania. And then let's not forget the 7 GOP senators who voted for conviction in the second impeachment hoax against President Trump. Richard Burr of North Carolina, retiring. Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. Sue Collins of Maine. Lisa Murkowski of Alaska. Mittens Romney of Utah. Ben Sass of Nebraska. And Pat Toomey of Pennsylvania, also retiring. Remember, we talked last week about the woman that, I knew I'd forget her complete name. I want to say Catherine Baker, but it's not that. But she is put in to run for Toomey's seat. I'll pull it back up, and we'll talk about it some other time, because we need to, if you know people in Pennsylvania, you need to support her or someone equally like-minded. Those are the, remember, it's still going on. It's not just, you know, this is not a Democrat versus Republican thing. Yes, I am a registered Republican. I am a conservative. But I'm a conservative before I am a Republican. And people have pointed out it's the swamp on both sides. It's the establishment on both sides, each party, that has put us in these places. It's not, you know, just Democrats or just Republicans. It's establishment people in both sides who have done nothing but pass protection bills for themselves. So there you go. Remember, don't buy Coke. Don't watch Major League Baseball. Don't watch the NBA, frankly. LaJuan just puts money in LaJuan's pocket. Certainly don't watch the All-Star game. And follow college sports. Yes, it could get swampy there, no doubt. We could see some changes, but I still think it's a better product. I still think it's guys that are playing for their love of the game. Guys that know they won't go on, but they're trading it for an education. You cannot get too mad at that. But begs a question. Hawkeye Mike asks, why don't the Dems have the traitors that the Republicans have? Well, as I've said, I think it's been infiltration to a degree. There are some. The guy in Georgia, Vernon Jones, that's left that in the Democrat Party. But you're right. It's more often than not. It's, you know. But anyway, do your due diligence. Remember what you're buying and from whom you're buying it. Remember what you're watching. Every time you turn into a show like the Oscars or the Emmys, you support advertisers, not because you buy their project or their product, but because you put the viewership on there. And TV, call it. T. Bodie points out the Las Vegas mayor recently flipped to the GOP, so, or a mayor in Nevada somewhere. Doesn't matter. I mean, and though, it happens both ways, and it usually happens after an election like the one we just had, where someone to be able to keep their power, so to speak. But remember, again, look at what you're buying. Look at the company or the person from whom you're buying it. Look at the TV you watch. Look at the sports you watch. Look at the movies you watch. Now, for everyone where you say, I'll never watch Will Smith again, or I'll never watch, don't forget, you know, they do put people to work wherever they are. So think about those things, too. That's why I've never really been about boycotts, per se, because I think when you do that, you don't hurt, you know, you don't hurt Starbucks when everybody says, oh, we're not going to go to Starbucks anymore. You do. But at the grassroots level, you hurt the guy that's been pouring your, you know, your matcha green tea every week or every morning. When you say, I'm not going to this restaurant because they're, you know, you hurt the waitress that's been, you know, especially if you've been going, you hurt the waitress that's been, you know, waiting on you every Friday and you've been giving her a decent tip. You hurt her. Yeah, again, eventually it gets to the top. But in the beginning, a boycott doesn't serve to, you know, as we're going to see in Georgia, by the way, what that league did didn't hurt the city of Atlanta. The mayor of Atlanta is not fazed by it. I mean, they don't like it. But in the interim stage, the mayor of Atlanta can say, well, that's what happens when you got a Republican legislature and Senate and, you know, governor. That's what happened. I mean, that's what they can say. But in the beginning, it hurts their own residents. It hurts the residents first. It hurts the businesses first. How many layoffs have you heard about at government level from COVID? Yeah, I didn't think so. How many teachers have you heard that got fired after COVID? Yeah, I didn't think so. Yeah. You know, there's that story that's gone around. Teachers in California won't go back to work. Teachers and even in Texas won't go back to work. But you know what they're doing? They're actually, quote-unquote, uniting in solidarity to go teach migrant children at these detention centers. Don't get me wrong. I'm not anti-child, not even anti-immigration when it's done legally. But good God, I mean, when we hear how these kids are being packed in and or being released with no COVID testing, and when teachers are saying, we won't teach your kids, but we will go teach those kids, darn right, the whole world's upside down, as Bedbug Eddie would say. I'll tell you more about Bedbug Eddie some other time. That's it, folks. I've said my piece. I've said what I've had to say for today before I could make myself, you know, gag and whatnot. But again, remember what you buy. Know what you buy. Know who makes it or sells it or resells it. Remember to look at what you watch, who made it, What do they stand for? Again, I watch network television shows. Totally. And that's my choice. But there's a difference between doing that. I mean, I won't pay for cable anymore, for instance, because it's ridiculously expensive. You know, that's the kind of thing. Those are the trade-offs you have to look at. Folks, y'all have a good night. Have a good week. Stay safe. Again, arm yourself or yourselves. If you won't arm yourselves with firearms, and I get it, you're right not to, arm yourself with knowledge. Arm yourself with the knowledge that, one, you may not be safe these days. Certain areas you may not be safe. Number two, arm yourself with the knowledge that, by and large, those folks sitting up in the ivory tower don't care about your safety and your well-being that much anyway. So protect yourself, protect your family, protect your neighbor, protect your friend. Think about it. Do it. God bless y'all. Have a great week. Send you off with a little more Musico. Thanks, folks. And again, I want to thank T. Bodie in the chat room. A couple names I didn't recognize. Sue from New Mexico, Brother Tommy, Big Sister, Hawkeye Mike, T. Bodie on that side. A couple of numbers I didn't recognize. Thanks for being here. Have a great week, y'all. Stay safe. And, of course, go Hawkeyes. Good night.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Bye-bye.